We're starting a new worship series this morning, When God Does Something New, and our scripture text is Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verses 16 to 21. This is what the Lord says. He who made a path through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Let's pray together. O Lord God, thank you for these, your words, and how you share with us and state that you are willing to do a new thing. We are willing, Lord, to lay ourselves open before you and think and pray about what that new thing might be. Lord, may it honor you, and may our thoughts this morning, and may our actions this afternoon and the rest of the week glorify and honor you as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, Happy New Year, 2018. Welcome to it, and welcome to our first worship service. And it's kind of appropriate to start it with a worship service right here, something we've never done before as a congregation. It's fun. And I am looking forward to a new year as your pastor and as a member here with you. We'll see what God can do, and I want us to explore over the next few weeks what it might be for God to do a new thing in our midst. I came up short this past week and a little bit cold as a story was related to me by Daphne when her granddaughter approached her and asked her, Natalie asked her, as I recall you saying, Grandma, how come there are so many religions in the world? Mm-hmm. And Daphne said, well, why don't you ask Pastor Stan? Natalie thought about it for a minute and said, nah, I'll just Google it. Very funny, isn't it? Unless you're a pastor. And it makes you think, well, what about 2019? What about 2030, 2040? Will there be a need for pastors in the future? Maybe we'll just Google us a sermon. Or maybe we'll say, Alexa, preach me a sermon. How many of you know what Alexa is? Yeah, okay, maybe. I have some thoughts on whether pastors will be needed or not, and that's a whole nother conversation, but I believe that in our worship together, we really need to focus on God and not the issues of the pastorate. And so let's look at what it might be like for God to do a new thing. Like he says here through the prophet, forget the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. As God does something new in our midst, it will be decisive, I think. It will be surprising. And I think it will also be for blessing. That's what we want to look at this morning. That when God does something new, it might just be decisive, it might just be surprising, and it will be for blessing as well. So decisive first. The prophet Isaiah begins speaking here in this text, and he sets up the scene. God doesn't begin speaking until verse 18 there. But the prophet begins to show God as being the one who has done something very decisive in Israel's past, in the history of God's people. And he talks about the chariots and the horses being thrown down, the army and the reinforcements being put down. What is the prophet talking about here? I know you know this story Exodus. Very well. The Exodus, right? Where the Red Sea parted and chariots and horses were destroyed. Army and reinforcements both were destroyed. a very decisive victory for the Lord. Notice there that the prophet says chariots and horses. It would have been to Egypt's benefit. No, if only chariots had been destroyed. But chariots and horses? It would have been better for Egypt if only the army had been destroyed. And after being destroyed, then Pharaoh could say, okay, reinforcements, you're my plan B. Come on through and get those people of God, get those Israelites. But it says there that army and reinforcements both went down. A decisive victory. And the prophet says there, the army was extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. I long to see God do something decisive in our church, in your lives, in our community, and in our world. And very often it is like that. So be ready. But I have a sinking feeling that sometimes we may not really want that. We might really rather have things just the way they are, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Do we really want a God who is so powerful, or have we compromised the Almighty and made him out to be the half-mighty? Just a week ago, I had to record a new message on our answering machine here at the church, because if you remember, Christmas Eve was stormy and snowy and icy, and I wanted to leave a message that if anybody called, they would know that we were open for business. Two services on Sunday morning, and our candlelight service Sunday evening. Well, after that, then I had to go back to the original message. Thank you for calling First Baptist Church. There's no one here to answer your call at the present time. Please leave a message and we'll get back to you just as soon as we are
able.
I recorded, we'll get back to you just as soon as we are evil. Where on earth did that come from?
Wow.
We'll get back to you just as soon as we're evil. Let's try Buddhist church, honey. I don't think we want to go to that church. I am so thankful, because sometimes I record a message and I don't pick up on my goofs, but I caught that one and I re-recorded it right away. But it made me think, how do we present ourselves to other people? Do we present a God who is all-powerful and who is decisive? Or do we mix him up? And I think we do sometimes. And the idea that we have of God that I want to disabuse you of or ask you to consider is that God might just be the flip side of evil. You've got these two things going on in the world. And that is not what we read in Scripture at all. Period. End of story. There is no Let me put it this way. God is so much more powerful and mighty that Satan or anything else is just a mere shadow, a mere whisper. It's not like you have, and this I think we get this from our culture. We talk about pros and cons. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, you're not a Christian. We talk about yin and yang. And even in the Star Wars world, right, we have light and dark, the two sides of the Force. You know, and I think we have that. I remember a commercial back, 30, 40 years ago, of a man trying to make a decision about a product or something, and there was an angel sitting on one shoulder.
And devil
what
on
was
the
that
other.
For? I don't remember.
Milk.
Coke?
No, the
milk. Milk? Really?
Yeah.
So he's got an angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other, and they're raging this war. Now, there is wars going on. There are battles going on. But please, church, do not think of God as just the opposite of Satan. You remember the story of Job in the Old Testament, where Satan had to go to God and ask for permission to be able to tempt Job? You know, Satan is just an underling. Satan is a fallen angel, we believe. That there just is, he can do havoc in your life, but don't think like, well, let me put it another way. Let me put it the way Jesus put it, and it's on the back of your bulletin there too. A decisive word from Jesus, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Unfortunately, a lot of us use that verse as kind of a grenade we can lob at somebody who doesn't believe. And I don't think that's what Jesus means here. It's not a sword. It's not a weapon. It's not a I'm in the way and you're not. It's just a simple statement of fact. There's just one way. There's one God. There isn't anything else. You don't have any... There's no competition for God. I started to say you don't have any choices, and we do have choices whether we will follow him or not, who is so great. But he is the all-powerful, and we need to communicate that to the rest of our community. Will you honor God with me in 2018? Let's not demean him by making him out to be the flip side of evil, or just another option among many. He is the all-powerful God who destroyed the Egyptian armies, who has sent his son to die for us. On and on we could go, and I think in a few weeks or months or so on, we'll talk about what he did in 2018. This is why we share our God stories every worship service, because he is alive. He is powerful, and he does things in our midst, right? God is not just an insurance policy that you choose and then, oh, well, I chose Geico. Maybe I should have chosen Progressive. Maybe that, it's not, no. God is the Almighty. Don't make him out to be the half-mighty or the one-third mighty. Yes, Satan is real. Yes, Satan will screw up your life. But you understand. Let's move on to the second point, okay? God might do something that's decisive. He might do something surprising as well. So, the prophet here, Isaiah, starts out by talking about the past. Isaiah being in the far past for us, and then talking about the Exodus, which is much further in the past. But interestingly, the prophet then switches and talks about the present. He begins to quote God there as saying, "See, I am doing a new thing." Yeah, Exodus, that was the past. I am doing something new now. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Some of you have used that devotional book, right? Streams in the Desert, right? Wasn't that a devotion that's been around for a long, long time? That's where that comes from, this phrase there, that our God is able to make water bubble up where there is no water and start an oasis, start a things growing and living in the middle of a dead desert. We've got this going on in our backyard, in the back field at the parsonage there. It's a snow desert right now. Colleen and I were out snowshoeing the other day. We do laps out back to try and keep the old ticker ticking, get some exercise, and we're walking around, and Colleen says, "What's this?" And there was a big hole in the snow. You know what's at the bottom of the hole?
Water.
As cold as it has been, it was not frozen up, because this is a stream, a spring, a seep probably more like it, coming up out of the ground, and there was unfrozen water in our backyard. This is what God wants to do, surprising us here in Nobleboro, surprising us in our backyard, surprising us in the deserts of your life, surprising us in this small community, surprising us in Lincoln County by making new life spring up around us. Okay, Pastor, tell us what that's going to be. Oh, I wish I could. But it wouldn't be a surprise anymore, would it? But will you wait for me? Will you watch for me? Will you pray with me that God do something new in our midst? Some of you do have visions and ideas, and you share those with me, and I love teasing those out with you. But I think he can do something very surprising in our midst. Our last sermon series was Surprised by Christmas. There are so many surprising stories in the Christmas story. Can we apply those to Nobleboro and Lincoln County? If God can be born in a manger, do you think he might be able to do something surprising in a double wide right here in Nobleboro? I like those shaking heads. There's not as many as I would want. You can get excited about this, people. I know we're Baptists, but this is exciting. If God can reveal his glory to shepherds, can he do so to lobstermen? What? If God can work in the life of a pregnant teenager, Mary, can he do something in the life of an obnoxious sixth grader? That might be one of his greatest miracles of all, huh? If God can work in the life of elderly Elizabeth, you remember Mary's cousin, I think it was, who was pregnant with John the Baptist? She was, as I recall the story, well beyond childbearing years. If God can do that, can God work in the lives of the elderly here in our community? I know you don't want to get pregnant, but what I'm saying is, it could be something else, okay? It could be something surprising that God can use and do in our lives. So, the other verse there on the back of your bulletin, I want you to go home and do Bible study with this and think about this, from Isaiah 55 again. See, these are three passages from Isaiah already. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, you can't think it through, people. I'm going to surprise you. May God surprise us this year. And may God bless us as well. If he does something new, it's going to be decisive. It's going to be surprising, and it will be for blessing as well. I have a conviction as I read Scripture that at the very core of God's being, at his heart, is his desire to bless us, our community, to bless you and your lives, your loved ones. Sure, there are consequences to the decisions that we make. Sure, our lives are full of bad things, but I believe that in his heart of hearts, at the core of his being, he desires blessing. We see this from the very first chapter of the Bible all the way to the end. In the very first chapter, you have the glories of creation, which we live with every day here in Nobleboro. And then all the way to the end, the book of Revelation, you have a new heavens and a new earth. But over and over again in Scripture, we see his blessing. We see it in Genesis chapter 12 on the back of your bulletins there, where one of the first people that he ever called, Abraham, to be the father of the Israelite nation, he said to Abraham, why? Now you start up your own little religion and you just keep it to yourselves and you just, you know, look down your nose at everybody else. Gosh, no. Look at these beautiful words. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That was his intention for Israel. That's his intention for the church, that we be a blessing to others. And yet I have this sinking feeling again that often what we communicate to others is scorn, condemnation. I'm better than you are. Look at me and my bad self. That kind of a thing. And I don't think that's what God wants us to show the community and the rest of the world. I'm grateful in 2018 that he's bigger than our failures, even if we do slip up sometimes and communicate the wrong kind of a God to the rest of the world, that he's able to still do his work in and through us and in and through his Holy Spirit. He is greater than our failures, for sure. But I wonder and question myself sometimes if the reason why some of our churches have dwindled a little bit is not because we've communicated the wrong kind of a God, that people who say, I would never go to that church, it's not just because their lives are so screwed up, it's because our noses are so up in the air. You know, why would they come to a place? I'm talking about other churches and not us, okay? Why would they come where they're just going to be berated and looked down upon? God bless us in 2018. Do something decisive in our midst. Do something surprising in our midst, and let us be a blessing to others as you have been a blessing to us. We're going to gather around the table here in a minute, because this is our greatest blessing, is it not? That he reminds us that we have streams in the desert. We have a cup. We have his blood that washes us, that gives us new life. And we have his body, this bread symbolized in the bread, that gives us hope that we can break the power of sin over us. Let's join together and praise him as we prepare to meet him at his table by singing together hymn number 442, I believe it is. A good one for the new year. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. 442 in the blue hymnal. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.